your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Excited today to chat with Morris Beagle, founder of WAFBA, We Are for Better Alternatives, and also co-founder of the Colorado Hemp Company, host of Let's Talk Hemp, and founder of Tree Free Hemp. Morris, it's great to have you on the show, man.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm happy to be here to chat about hemp with you.
Yeah, always fun to do a little role reversal, right? You're usually the moderator of your own podcast, so this will be fun.
Yep, for sure.
You know, before you kind of entered into the world of hemp, you were in the music and entertainment space for over 25 years. And I thought it'd be nice just to kind of hear your story on, you know, what was it that made that transition from entertainment to hemp?
So yeah, I got into the music industry really kind of out of high school and went to a place called the Music Business Institute in Atlanta in 1987. And from there went to work for a large music and video distributor for 7 years and then started my own music production company in Colorado called Happy Scratch Records / Happy Scratch Entertainment in 1995 and was in the music industry up until 2010 or so. And the transition really occurred because the music industry got really cratered by the internet. And I was in the physical music industry at the time, doing CDs and DVD manufacturing and distribution and physical merchandise. And what happened with the digital side really decimated the physical side, and it eliminated record stores. It eliminated a lot of labels. It eliminated a lot of things. And so I was trying to find a new industry to take my skill set. And in Colorado, the medical marijuana thing was really starting to happen back in 2009, 2010. And in 2012, we introduced Amendment 64 that in turn passed and legalized adult use cannabis, recreational cannabis here in Colorado. And it also opened up the door for industrial hemp for farmers to start growing it here. And that preceded the 2014 Farm Bill that had a provision in there to allow states to start growing industrial hemp under pilot programs. But in 2012, me and a partner of mine, Elizabeth Knight, started Colorado Hemp Company that was really a merchandise oriented company doing hemp t-shirts. And we started repping some other companies that had hemp shoes and hemp bags and hemp wallets and hemp beanies. And that's how it all started. And from there, we found a hemp paper and started Tree Free Hemp and started doing hemp business cards and hemp posters for bands and events. And then we started doing hemp events in 2014 as we launched NoCo Hemp Expo. And from there, we've started several other events and some other brands and have done more merchandise and started a hemp guitar company and really have brought kind of the music and entertainment side into the hemp side and our overall business platform. So in a roundabout way, that's how we've got to where we are today.
That's awesome. So, I mean, you're involved in so many different, hemp-based products. I mean, so everything from, you know, paper to signage and all sorts of t-shirts, all those different things. So you obviously love hemp.
I do love hemp. I think hemp is a great resource to replace a lot of toxic alternatives that are out there that we've been utilizing, whether that's cotton that utilizes, 25% of the pesticides worldwide,
sure.
Soy, corn, petroleum. Hemp can be a viable, environmentally friendly replacement for a lot of these other ingredients and materials that we're using in everyday life.
Well, yeah, and I almost feel like with hemp too, it's like it's fast growing, so you can produce quite a bit of it, and it's much safer than, let's just say, taking down massive amounts of trees to create very similar products, right?
That is correct.
Really good for the world.
Yeah. So, building materials, there's another example where we utilize a lot of trees and petroleum materials that go into plaster and insulation and that sort of thing. There are natural, fast-growing plant bio alternatives that can replace a lot of what we have been using the last 50 years.
That's awesome. And so when you're talking about actual building materials with hemp, like what's the process of actually creating that for building?
Well, there's a variety of building materials. Hempcrete is something probably a lot of people have heard about. And you can build walls with hempcrete as you would build with other materials. It's not load bearing, so you still need to have some sort of reinforcement. And that could be wood beams or it could be steel beams. But insulation, plaster, flooring, cabinetry, stains, paints, all of those materials can be heavily made with hemp, or at least partial ingredients within those materials could be hemp. So there's hemp can be utilized for just literally thousands and thousands and thousands of different products, whether it's completely hemp or whether it's partially hemp.
That's awesome. So just kind of talking a little bit about, you know, NoCo Hemp Expo. So that's pretty much emerged as one of the largest industrial hemp conferences out there. Is that really kind of your idea behind bringing all of these different folks, you know, in the space who are producing products in the hemp world to kind of learn and educate and buy? Give us the overarching theme of NoCo.
Yeah, that's correct. Really, NoCo has been built to be the industry show where we bring together all facets of the supply chain from a B2B side. And that can be from the farmers and geneticists, seed breeders, nutrient amendment companies, to equipment companies, whether that's farm equipment or whether that's processing equipment or whether that's manufacturing, packaging, as well as regulatory and legal, marketing, insurance, banking. So the entire supply chain for the hemp industry, and that's covering all facets of the plant from the fiber side, the grain side, which would be your hemp seeds and your protein powders and your hemp seed oil. So kind of the food nutritional side, and then the flower side for your CBD and cannabinoid extracts and extraction and dietary supplements, nutraceuticals, that entire area of the industry, which has been the driving force here in the United States since we've got this going in the last 5 or 6 years. That's really been the driver here in the U.S., where on the food side of it, Canada's been doing that really since the late 1990s, and that's been their big play on hemp. And the Europeans has been more on the fiber side with building materials and biocomposites and bioplastics. And then China has been on the fiber side as well, more on the textile side with apparel and upholstery and everything that can be made from the high quality bass fiber.
Totally. So I look at you as kind of a, you know, thought leader in the space, and you're also an advisor to so many different people. And I'm curious, you know, just to hear your thoughts, you know, if you were to like go back and, you know, as you kind of started in this space, and I'm sure you've seen the massive surge of, you know, the CBD market across the whole country, you know, curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, where you think things are going there. I know there's a lot of customers who are trying it for the first time, and, you know, some of them are having really good experiences because they're working with really solid brands, but others that might get it at a local retailer or gas station where it's not high quality kind of almost ruins their first experience. I'm just curious your thoughts around that specific segment of the industry.
The CBD side of things is definitely interesting. While it's opened up the doors for the mainstream finding out a lot more about hemp, it's also opened the door to people that just want to profit and benefit from it without regard to people's real health. And so there is a lot of bad actors out there, and there's a lot of great brands out there too. And until we get it regulated properly from the FDA And I'm not a big fan of the FDA, and I don't think most people in the cannabis space are, and rightfully so, because of how they've treated this plant for so long. But it is going to get regulated as a dietary supplement, and there has to be standards that have to be met to be able to put this product into the marketplace so it is high-quality product, so consumers know what they're going to get. Like you mentioned gas stations, and there's a lot of product that are in these gas stations that aren't naturally hemp-derived CBD or full spectrum. This stuff it's synthetic, and it's hard for consumers to know what is plant-derived or what is synthetically derived in a lab. And so that's where regulation and compliance and certification comes into play. And if I'm giving advice to a consumer, if you want to find out if CBD is a good product for you, you should find brands that are actually certified, whether that has, we've got a certification program within our industry called the Hemp Authority that's part of the U.S. Hemp Roundtable. It's like a sister organization, and you have to go through all these steps to get your product certified. And now there's other certifications that are out there as well, USDA organic certified. And there's several brands that have now attained that. And I would say, look for brands that are quality brands that have certification, and go online and get reviews, because there really are a lot of brands out there that are these kind of fly-by-night snake oil brands. And if you come across one of those, that's not the true representation of this plant.
Mm-hmm. I want to just, you know, switch gears a little bit with the actual hemp plant. You know, can you tell us maybe a little bit of the difference between, let's just say, hemp and traditional marijuana plants?
So traditionally, hemp has been grown for fiber, and they've been the tall, thin stalk with not a lot of flower on it. You know, some of there's what's called dual crops, where you grow the crop for both fiber and for grain. And the grain is the seed. And when it goes to seed, then that seed, A, it could be replanted, or you take that seed and you de-hull it, meaning you take the shell off, and then you've got what are called hulled hemp seeds or hemp hearts or hemp nuts. And then you can also take those shells and you can grind that up, and you can use that for animal feed. You can use it for protein powder. You can also press the seeds for hemp oil. And so that's kind of your food side of the hemp plant. But when it comes to the marijuana side, and that's where this whole CBD thing has kind of sprung from, is CBD hemp is not traditional industrial hemp. And hemp is defined legally as 0.3% or less CBD by dry weight. And what has happened is a lot of these marijuana feminized plants have been bred down, so there's very little THC, and they boosted up the CBD, and you grow this CBD plant like you grow marijuana. It's big and bushy and like Christmas trees, and it's more horticulture rather than agriculture. Hemp has traditionally been agriculture, where you row crop it like corn and you grow hundreds of acres. And now with this CBD hemp explosion, it's become more of this horticulture side of things. And you have to really watch when you're going to harvest so the hemp doesn't go hot and it doesn't pop that THC above 0.3%. Because if it does go above 0.3% when it's tested, then technically it's marijuana, and the farmer is going to have to destroy that plant or that crop, or they have to utilize it for R&D purposes on their property. They can't take it off. So
let's just talk about that for a second. So what actually, because I feel like from a hemp perspective, like it's always been, you know, obviously under 0.3% of THC. How does it actually produce more THC? Like, what are the conditions that make it go over?
Well, there's environmental conditions, and then it's just genetics. It depends on Really, on the genetics that you have. There's stabilized genetics that get certified. There's a EASCA certification, which is the global seed certification that is out there that all agricultural crops go by. You have to certifying your seeds. So if I'm a farmer and I'm going to get seed to plant, whether that's for corn or soy or temp or carrots or whatever, if it's EASCA certified, then I should have a pretty good idea of what I'm putting in the ground and what kind of yield I'm going to get and what the characteristics of that crop is going to be. And so there is EASCA certified industrial hemp seed across Europe, across Canada. And now in the United States, there are some varieties that are getting EASCA certified. That means that it's going to be below that 0.3% THC threshold. And if you get EASCA certified seed, then as a farmer, I know that I can plant this. It's not going to go over that 0.3%, or even if it did, because it's EASCA certified, it's not going to get destroyed, because maybe it would go over just a little bit because of some quirky environmental condition. It was extra dry out and there was like the temperature was 3 or 4 degrees hotter that season or whatever. And hemp, and cannabis in general, with the cannabinoids are protective. They like to go up in percentage based on protecting the plant. That's what they do. There's people that can explain that side of the whole genetic side of it better than I can. I'm more of a generalist in promoting the plant more right. than anything, but,
where do you guys get all of your hemp from? Do you guys grow it or do you source it from farmers, or like, how does it work with you?
We don't grow any hemp. Actually, well, I take that back. My partner, she's got a 3-acre farm, and we did do some test plots last year, just really because we wanted to grow hemp because we don't grow hemp. We've got various partners on the paper side where we can get material. And we're also making guitars so we can get fiber from specific people or people that are creating, let's say, the hemp wood or a hemp board. We go out and source more finished raw materials rather than sourcing directly from farmers.
Any insight into what you're looking at as far as maybe the future of hemp? You know, not just in the US, but the world, like more and more people using hemp, more and more people using it for instead of paper or tree products. Like any insight you could look into as far as maybe what'll happen next year?
I would say that we're going to continue to see acreage grow, not only here in the United States, but across the planet overall for hemp and for cannabis. I think that there's going to be a little bit of decline this year in hemp acreage here in the United States because there's a glut of material still sitting in the market, whether that's raw biomass flour or crude oil or isolate or distillate that's just sitting out there. And the price has dropped significantly. And a lot of people are sitting on material, and I don't think near as many people are going to grow this year. But as grain and fiber become more prevalent across the globe, and I think because of the environmental crisis that we're in, that and people realizing that climate change is real, and what are the solutions to climate change, and that's going to be drawing back on fossil fuels, and what are the alternatives to fossil fuels, you're going to see more and more bio opportunities, plant-based materials, and hemp is right there to lead the way because of its versatility and ability to really create ingredients that can go into so many different markets. I think that we'll see technology-leaning investment coming into this overall market, where the building industry and the plastics industry and the paper industry are going to have to look for utilizing more eco-friendly materials, and that's going to drive more and more people to utilizing hemp.
Awesome. Well, really good insight into the world of hemp, and obviously coming from you means a lot as you're really dialed into the space. So Morris, if you've listened to the show before, we basically talked a little bit about, you know, thought leadership and all the things that you're doing and all the great stuff you've been able to talk through about hemp. And then we also have a few quick fire questions for you. Super easy. Just first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Yep.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Follow your passion. Don't cave to the status quo.
Nice. Do you have any pets?
Not at this time. Well, I take that back. I have a pet rabbit in the backyard. Well, he's kind of a pet. I just call him Peter.
Oh, that's funny. Does he eat anything in the garden?
Well, we haven't planted our garden this year, but he's nibbling on the grass all over the place.
I'm sure leaving you all sorts of presents too. Favorite movie?
The Blues Brothers.
Describe yourself as a teenager in three words.
Rowdy, fun, adventurous.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
Lying.
That's a good one. Any tattoos?
Yes.
What kind?
Phoenix rising out of a volcano.
Cool. Do you think Jimmy Kimmel is funny?
Yes.
What's the one food you could eat for a week straight?
Pizza.
Pizza. And then finally, last question. When we get out of quarantine, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Go to Hawaii.
Nice. Well, Morris, this was great. And, you know, really appreciate you coming on the show. And I think, you know, just kind of educating everybody on the hemp space, really important. Lots of great things going on. And, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on lots of new things that you come out with as well.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jeff.
My pleasure. Thanks, Morris.
Sure thing.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.